It's different. And I appreciate your prayers this evening. Amen. Just stretch your hand this way and pray for me this evening. Father, we come before you tonight, O God, knowing, God, that my strength is not in myself, but God, my strength is in you. You are our Lord and you are our Redeemer. And God, we trust in you. And Father, as we open up the Word of God this evening, that Lord, it's not my word, it's your word. And I pray tonight, O God, that you would touch us, that you would help us, that God, that the words that we would speak here this evening, that God, that they would be anointed of you, Father. And Lord, I thank you and I honor you and I praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. This morning, we basically ask a question in the title of the message today, where will you stand? We read to you the scripture out of 1 Peter chapter number 4, primarily looking at verse number 17. Again, the Bible reminds us in that verse of scripture, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? When I began to think about this message several days ago, I began to think not only of the first part of this message, but I also thought about the latter part of this message as well. Where the Bible says, if you begin to look at that, the judgment is going to begin here in God's house. In other words, when we look at that in context of what it's saying there, that you and I, as God's people, let me say it like this, will be looked at first. God will look at His church and God will measure up you and I, if you will, according to what we have learned and what we know to be the truth of God's Word. Then we looked at this morning how that Proverbs talks about how that we are not to neglect or reject God. We looked at Proverbs chapter number 3, and I want to turn back there as I kindly launch from that spot this evening. Proverbs chapter number 3, of course we know that, and we read that this morning as well. But there's a key verse in that scripture that I wanted to get to, and give me just a second to find it there, because I lost my place right as I got up here for that. But here's where we're going with that. Because he teaches us in this scripture, where he teaches us in verse number 11. And this is the words where we ended up on the lesson or the message this morning. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. We look at that scripture today, and I know that we always preach out of the King James Version, and I know how most 90% of the people here at the church feel about that. But I also looked this up in the Amplified Version just to look it up to see what it said. And this is what it says in the Amplified. And it said, my son, do not reject or take lightly the discipline of the Lord. My son, he says, do not take it lightly. Don't take it lightly that I, the Lord God, have come to chastise you or discipline you. And then it went on to say, it's in the same commentary of this text, it said, learn from your mistakes and the testing that comes from His correction through discipline, nor despise His rebuke. I'm going to read that again. He says, my son, do not reject or take lightly the discipline of the Lord. Learn from it. Learn from your mistakes and the testing that comes from His correction through discipline, nor despise His rebuke. And I said this in the conclusion of this morning, that years ago we would talk about, let's use this word this evening for you guys that are here tonight. We used the term years ago, we used the term Holy Ghost conviction. And you would say, well, what in the world is Holy Ghost conviction? Part of the job of the Holy Ghost is to reprove and to rebuke. when you and I would do something wrong, or we would start to do something wrong, that the Holy Spirit of the living God of glory, the third person in the Trinity, the Godhead, would come and knock upon your heart's door. And he does it to me too, my friend. He would knock upon your heart's door. And this is the way I receive that. You better think about that. You better not do that. And I tell my kids, and I've told people for years, they're not kids, they're grown adults now. I told them as they were growing up, I said, you need to think. For every action, there's a reaction. And you need to make sure you want the reaction that's determined by your action. I told my kids that growing up. And I think about that same thing today. It's because living for God, my friend, where the Bible says, if you look back at this text, that every single person, again, I'm not going to get into a lot of stuff I could get into tonight that I had studied out a little bit, but reminds us that every person will stand before God and give an account of their neighbor. Everybody will. No. Everybody will stand before God and give an account of themselves. I remember reading in the Word of God. I'm not going to take the time to turn there. But one of the things that Jesus was talking about, the parable of the Pharisee, he was telling the Pharisee one day, he said, how easy it is to get a speck of dirt out of somebody else's eye when you've got a 2x4, our words, not God's word, when you've got a board sticking out of your eye. And you know, we think about it, it's so much easier to clean somebody else up before we think about cleaning our own selves up. And we think about that in the Word because we look at this and how God deals with every individual. And God again reminds us in the Scripture not to reject God's discipline or take it lightly, but learn from what God has done and what God is doing. And from that, God is leading us into a whole life of discipline, if you will. We mentioned this morning of how that Proverbs 22:6, to train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, that they won't depart from it. We think about children being reared up in the church today, but I think about it also as children of God, how that God, I don't know about you, but God is still working on me. He's still doing things in my life every day. I'm still learning every day. There's still things I want to learn every day, and He's teaching me. So moving forward, as God is teaching us, as God is training us, it includes what God is saying through the Word. If you look up that word training, it is a word that means to nurture. It means to discipline, if you will. And sometimes we forget about this, but discipline often has to do with God chastising us and disciplining us so that we would become the people that God would want us to be. Discipline, according to Ephesians 6:4, it suggests that Christians' discipleship, or Christians' discipline, if you will, it regulates godly character. It is God doing in us what God wants to do to develop within us to become the person that He wants us to be. Now, this is what God's Word says in Hebrews chapter 12. And then we're going to move forward into the rest of this message this evening. This is very imperative because this is what Hebrews teaches us. God will discipline those that He loves. I want you to get a hold of that. God will discipline those that He loves. When you think about discipline, we think about children, and we think about situations in our childhood. Now, I don't know, and there's different people we've had conversations with. I can only tell you my experience. I've told you this at least one time. I remember from another message about discipline of a father. My dad was a good dad, and he had his challenges and he had his ups and downs, but yet he was a good dad. He always meant well for us kids. I have to admit, my dad never spanked me. Not one time growing up did my dad ever spank me. I never remember my dad ever spanking me, and I always lived my life in a manner that I knew if he ever did have to spank me, he'd probably kill me. So I never gave him the opportunity to have to do that. Now, I remember one time we lived on a busy road, two-lane road, up and down. My aunt lives in the house now that I grew up in. My granny's house, her daughter lives in. And below that house is my other cousin and then the Clyde Church of God. So I grew up there. My dad got home every day at 4 o'clock. Every day at 4 o'clock, it took him about 30 minutes to drive from work. He caught me out in the middle of that road. Well, a girl that lived across the road was named Gayla. So she had a little stuffed animal, and she threw it down the bank, and she couldn't get it. So I went over, nice thing to do, but I went over and got her little stuffed animal, and I was going to throw it back up on the bank. About halfway through coming across that road, my dad caught me. And son, he raked me out, and I thought, oh, I'm dead. I wasn't but 8 year old, 7, 8 year old. I remember this. And I thought, I'm going to get killed. This is the day I'm going to go, I'm going to leave this world. But my dad caught me there across the road, and he took me in there, and I remember standing beside the refrigerator for some reason, and I just knew he was going to tear my hide up. So I didn't know, and I was standing there, and I was almost trembling at the fact that he came at me, and I was getting ready to get wiped out. You know what I mean? So when he got through talking to me, and I don't really remember anything other than his little rough voice, you know, telling me that I could have got killed and I could have got run over and I didn't want to die by a car hitting me. And it's very likely that that could have happened. And then he reached in his pocket and he had some of this Wrigley Spearmint chewing gum, and he gave me a piece of chewing gum and said, don't let me catch you back out there on that road again. I remember that. And I'm thinking of a child and how that God disciplines us as a child. A lot of times we think of how that God wants to take a ball bat and beat us over the head. And we think about judgment, and we think about what we in our own mind think that God is wanting to do to us. God is not wanting to do that. I know there's people that we talk about judgment. We talk about standing before God, and there are those that would say, sick them, boy. Sick them and get them. You know, they deserve it. Go ahead and get them. That's not my mindset. My mindset is God discipline us and help us to become the people that you want us to be. But when we think about what the scripture says about God, now we're going to get rough here for a minute, but we'll pull it all back together soon. When you look in Hebrews chapter number 12, this is what it says. I know that Hebrews 12 and 1, it talks about wherefore sin that we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily doth beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. When you look at this scripture, we understand the love of God. We look at this and we understand how much God truly does love his people. God does not send anybody to hell. Hello? People go to hell by their own rejection of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus has already done for them. It's not God's will. The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but we all come to repentance. How many of you know that? But look at this scripture. We're going to look in verse number 5 for just a minute. We're going to walk through this forward for a minute. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Now look at this. This is again where Hebrews was writing to you the very thing that Proverbs wrote. And he says again, this is Paul, assumably, in the book of Hebrews. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. When you look at this word, again, it involves training and nurturing, instruction and discipline, if you will. And he talks about, he says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. What does that mean? In other words, it simply means this. When God rebukes you, when God convicts you, when God shows you your open sin, if you will, and God by the power of the Holy Ghost will do that, don't get angry with God. God's doing it because he loves you. God gets no pleasure out of anybody going to hell. God gets no pleasure out of anybody walking away from him. Not at all. That is why God is wooing and drawing and doing everything he can to woo people back into his love and care. But again, when we see this, we see what the writer of Hebrews said. He was saying again, despise not, in other words, the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when without strength, when thou art rebuked of him. So again, to the church this evening, God is saying, don't lose heart, don't lose strength, faint, don't lose strength. In other words, if God has to convict you over a sin, or if God has to convict you over something, just account it that God is trying to look out for you and God is trying to do what's best for you and for your soul. The next verse, verse number 6, again he says more. He says in verse 6, this is what the Word of God says. He said, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth," if you will, "and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." The day that my dad caught me in the road, my dad wasn't trying to scourge me, to be mean to me. He wasn't bringing chastisement upon me to be mean to me. When you've had to chastise your children, and when an adult has to try to correct a child and put a child in the right direction, if you will, it don't mean that we don't love that child, or we reject that child, or we neglect that child. It just simply means that what we're doing is trying our very best to get that child to be willing to learn what we know as adults, that they're what's best for their heart, if you will. I'm glad I got all that out. Slow down and think about it. So he says here in the Word, now you parents, you're looking at me, and I guess I'm trying to preach and trying to make sense of all this. So I'm just going to say, okay, here it is. I'm going to relax, let it come out the way it comes out. Quit pushing so hard. Here it is. Parents in this room, you know and I know that your children are not little angels. Well, what a revelation on a Sunday night is that. And you know, they've all had things that you've had to discipline them over. You didn't want to judge them, but we're talking about that at the latter part of this message. God, you just simply wanted to protect your child and to keep your child from further harm. So when Paul was writing this, this is what he was saying. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God's again, he, I don't know if this even makes sense or not. And this is the only way I can think about it. Sometimes God has to tan your hide. That's the only way I can think about it. I don't know what tan your hide means necessarily. Somebody says, well, say it like this, preacher. Sometimes God will take you to the woodshed. Well, I don't really know what that means. I never was taken to the woodshed. Some of you might have been taken to the woodshed. Somebody says, well, sometimes you got to go get your own hickory. Now, how many of you ever got sent to get your own hickory? You brought back a little bitty one about like that. That didn't work. Chris is with me. You better bring back one that they mean business over. And they might straighten you out, but don't bring that little old. See, your parents are trying to do that for your benefit. Somebody says, well, my parents have been gone for 35 years, and I do remember things, but that don't happen to me anymore. But does God ever chastise us? Does God ever sometimes tap that still small voice on the inside of you, and God says, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't know about you, but God tells me that every now and then. Don't do that. If you do that, you're going to get in trouble. If you do that, there's circumstances to follow. Don't do that. Unless you're really, really, really willing to face the consequences of your decision, don't do that. Now, I don't know how God deals with you, but that's how God deals with me. God will speak to my heart in simple terms sometimes and say, don't do that. So see, God in the Scripture is teaching us not to despise Him. For God is love. 1 John teaches us that. It just says God is love. And we don't discipline our children because we hate our children, but we discipline our children because we love our children. God don't discipline you because He hates you, but God disciplines you because He loves you. That's weird, ain't it? It don't even sound right in our mind. It just sort of sounds like a twisted up bunch of words. Well, while you're spanking me, you're telling me that you love me, just beating the hide off my hind end and saying, I love you, I love you. That don't even make sense to me. But in the long run, God is saying to us, I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to suffer eternity without me. And God is doing everything He can to pull you and I in. Now look at these next couple of verses. Let me look at my notes for a minute. In verse number 7, He says this. He says in verse number 7, we've read that one. And He says, let me read it again. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. That's important because if you endure, He deals with you as sons. Now stay with me. I'm going to get rough with the King James here in a minute. He says this. He says, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? In other words, if God don't deal with you, as a son, if you are not a son or a daughter of God, that God deals with us that way. And if not, look what the next verse says. Now, some of you may not want me to read this. I want to read it King James, okay? He says, but if you be not without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Other versions actually say you're an illegitimate child. In other words, you don't belong to God. In other words, if we don't allow God to deal with us, if God ain't dealing with us, in other words, we're none His. And looking at this in this context, I'm really so glad that God is dealing with you and I as He is our Heavenly Father. And I'm so glad tonight that I know who my Father is, and my Father is not the devil. Come on, somebody. The next couple of two verses pulls it together, because He says this as you walk down through this. And He says this in the Word. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we have them. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? What an amazing thing! If you look at that, well, should we not be more subject to our Heavenly Father and come under the discipline of our Heavenly Father and live? I like that, don't you? In other words, we need to be obedient unto our Heavenly Father, so that when we die at the end of this journey, Hebrews actually teaches us that. Sherry and I mentioned this scripture this afternoon to each other, just in passing conversation. I said, I'm glad I thought about that verse, or we mentioned that verse. And it says, it's been appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Again, it's not a question of whether we will ever be judged of God. It's a simple fact of whether and how you'll stand before Him. Either you will stand before Him as His son or His daughter, or you will stand before Him as an illegitimate child that He don't know you. Again, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in Your name. Lord, we cast out devils in Your name. We done all these things in Your name. And the Lord looked back on them and said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you, that you are of your father, the devil. I don't want to stand at the judgment seat of God and not know who God is. Sometimes God will bring chastisement. Sometimes God will bring that upon us that we don't understand. But again, in verse number 12, we're going to skip down for a little bit. Verse 12 says this, wherefore lift up your hands that hang down. Again, we think about that in praise, or we think about that in worship, and that can be a part of that. But those of you that have heard what I've said here, when I got a good chewing out by my mom was a disciplinarian in my house. I'd go somewhere and I'd stick out my bottom lip and I'd pout and I'd get mad and I wouldn't want to deal with nobody in the house and I'd sulk for a while. I had a best friend that lived near me. I'm not going to call his name, but he lived near me. This guy would get mad at somebody and he was mad at the world. I mean, I didn't do nothing to him, but he was mad at me. I mean, people react different ways to different things, and God can discipline us. And my friend, it's like we just poked our lips out. We just get all upset. We get all mad and we get all emotional with God and all that. We get upset. But what God is saying, hey, look here. If I've disciplined you, you need to count it joy that you're my son. You don't need to hang your hands down. You don't need to be weak-kneed and frayed and, you know, tore apart. You need to rejoice because God loves you enough to where that He will discipline us. I'm glad God will discipline us. Now, again, when we look at this, this is what he's telling you. Again, commentary said, hey, pull yourself together. Pull yourself together. Wherefore, lift up your hands that hang down. No need to fret, no need to pout, no need to worry. He said those feeble knees, and then he says, this is instruction from the Word of God. And make straight the path for your feet, lest that which is lame turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness without, shall no man see God. Look in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up into trouble, and thereby may be defiled. When you look at this again, he teaches us in 1 Peter. And again, I mentioned a lot of that this morning. I don't really want to take a lot of time right there again this evening. But again, when Peter was writing this, in our text. This is what Peter was actually saying when you open this up in verse number 12, because he teaches us not to consider it strange, the fiery darts that are to try you. But what God is trying to do, once again, God is trying to work some things out of us. I don't know if God's ever had to work anything out of you or not, but a lot of times we despise the trial, or we despise the tribulation, we despise the chastening of God. And what God is really trying to do in our heart, as I mentioned this morning out of Matthew 5 and 8, where he says that God, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God's trying to do a work of purity in our heart. I was reading just very quickly about gold, and again, I didn't read about it long because I knew I wouldn't have a whole lot of time to ponder on it. But somebody may know in this room. I don't know if anybody does. I don't know the exact, and I just vaguely looked at it. But I thought about gold, and I thought about how that a smelter, the one that smelts the gold, and he will take the gold and he'll put it in the fire. And they said they would put it in a container or something, and they would try to heat it up, and they would, as it was heating up, it would separate the gold from the impurities. And a lot of times we talk about the being tried by fire, if you will. Martha sings the song through the fire, and we talk about all those things. And gold is something, I've never studied gold at all, but anyway, it talked about how that the gold goes through the fire process. And sometimes we feel like, why in the world am I going through what I'm going through? God's trying to work it out in our hearts. God's trying to work it out in our life. Could you imagine? Over 1,900 degrees, I think is what it is, for gold to actually melt. There's actually an actual scientific figure there where I looked at it and just kept on going, where gold will actually melt. And it was over 1,900 degrees. That's pretty hot. And you think about you and I, and think about even what God is trying to do in your life and my life. Where Peter was saying, consider it not strange, the fiery trials that are to try you. And I thought, as we go through this life and many, many fiery trials, if you will, maybe it's just God doing something in our life. Maybe it's God, and the only way I can say it is the way I think it. Maybe it's God just getting you and I ready for judgment day, so that we will not stand before Him guilty, but we can stand there guiltless. And Peter, again, he says that in our text, as we read this in chapter number 4, and he opened up in verse number 12. He said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as some strange thing happened unto you. Again, God is working to get all the impurities out of our lives. Amen. The Bible talks about God being the potter and us being the clay, if you will. Some notes that I wrote myself is simply this: the trial by fire should not be seen as a strange or unusual thing, but as the Father disciplines His child, so does our Heavenly Father discipline His children. Now, number two, this is all that was number one this morning. Again, when we think of this in verse 15, the Bible says this, and this is very imperative. He says, do not suffer judgment or discipline as an evildoer. Again, God is writing this to the Christian through Peter. And he says, hey, if you're going to be judged, don't be judged for doing evil. Amen? Let none of you suffer as a murderer. We can murder somebody with our tongue. We can destroy somebody with our mouth. Come on, somebody. Or as a thief. Or as an evildoer. Or a busybody. In other people's manner, other men's matters, if you will. In this, again, he says that we're not to meddle in the affairs of others. And the affairs of others is a word that actually means to be caught up in the plots and the schemes to do evil against someone else. I don't have time to turn there, but Proverbs teaches us the seven things that God absolutely hates. I'm not going to take the time to go there this evening, but it's very plain in the Scripture. And one of those things that God absolutely hates is sowing discord among the brethren. And God, according to His Word, says that those people will be judged by Him. And then Peter was writing again that you and I should not meddle, and we should not be busybodies in other people's matters, if you will. Murderers, drunkenness, and thieves, and evildoers, and things of that nature. Next thing, real quick. He teaches us in the book of Hebrews 9:27 the word that I've already mentioned to you a little bit ago. This is what he says, that how that it's been appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. How shall this old world escape if they neglect so great a salvation? Again, I think this message kind of started several days ago, and it evolved into this over the last several days. And I began to think about some of the things that I was witnessing and some of the things that I too witnessed and some of the things that I saw folks were involved in and things were doing. Let me just meddle here for a minute. I don't think this has anything to do with anybody here tonight at all, but I need to say it anyway. Because sometimes I think that people think that they're going to live forever and that they will never stand and give an account of their lives. And the drunkenness and the partying and all the things that we witness and all the things that we see. And this is people that sat under the gospel message. And this is people that's heard the word of God. I mentioned this morning, that once somebody hears the word of God, Brother West, you know this to be the truth as well. I'm no longer accountable for that. What they hear, they're accountable for, and they're going to be the ones to answer to God. And I see this is just a burden of my heart. I witnessed this as a pastor. And Brother Steve, somehow in my mind, I cannot shake it and fathom it. I don't understand it, how people can hear the word of God, how that they can blatantly go out and do things that's contrary to God, contrary to the word, without any fear of the judgment of God at all in their appearance. And then the Bible mentions this. It's been appointed unto man once to die, and after this is the judgment. To me, I would worry about going to sleep at night. Come on, somebody. But here's the thing I just thought of. The devil has them so deceived, and they're so deep into deception, they don't even think about that. We live in a world today, you're okay, I'm okay. Everything's okay. But you know what, my friend? Everything's not okay. Everything's not okay. And one of these days, the Bible reminds us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? As I mentioned a while ago, that God don't want anybody to die lost. God don't want anybody to die lost. We're reminded of that in the scripture in 2 Peter chapter number 3. There's about two verses of scripture, and I'm getting ready to close here in a minute. There's two verses of scripture, 2 Peter 3, verse number 8. We look at this in the scripture. I'm almost at it myself. We see this in the word of God. He said, beloved, and let me check and make sure I'm in the right place. Verse 8, this is what he said. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. That's another message for another time. Verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look in verse number 10. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. When we think about this right here, the Lord is coming again. He's coming as a thief. Again, the New Testament talks about this in Corinthians, that he's coming in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Somebody says, well, I'll wait and I'll get right with God. I used to say that when I was a kid a little bit. But somebody says, well, I'm just not ready to get right with God. I'll get right with God one day. I'll give my heart to God one day. I'll do that when the timing's right. And maybe God will, in all of his grace and all of his mercy, give you the opportunity to do that. On September the 23rd, 2006, at 8:30 in the afternoon, Daddy was already in the bed. He fell under conviction in the bed, got out of the bed, fell down beside his bed, asked Jesus into his heart. And I asked my dad this question, because you know the story, but I asked my dad this question. I said, why did you do this now? And he said, well, I just knew in my heart that it was time to get it right with God. I just knew that it was time. And you know, to me, I thank God that God did spare him and did give him the grace that one day he came to his senses and that he was able to give his heart to God. But there have been so many people die in life so unexpectedly. And my friend, they keep waiting on God. They just push it out. Wait, they'll wait. They'll say, maybe one day, preacher, maybe I'll get my heart right with God one day, preacher. And my friend, the sad story is that so many people that was good people but not saved have died and went out into eternity without God. And my friend, that's the saddest story of all, that they did not have to die and go to hell. So in this, we see where the Bible says this. Again, where Peter is reminding this, that God is not willing that any should perish. The next thing, when we look in Acts chapter 17 and 30, we see this in the Word. Acts 30 reminds us, when you look at this scripture, that in the Old Testament, there was a time when God would wink, if I can use that word, God would wink at their sin. But yet now, after Jesus and after the resurrection of Jesus, and God sent His Son to become our propitiation, our covering, if you will, the atonement, if you will, that God don't look at men's sins the way that God looked at men's sins, even in the Old Testament. You say, well, did God bring any type of judgment in the Old Testament? And is God going to bring a judgment upon the church or the world even now? Oh yeah, when you think about the Old Testament, we think about the judgment of the Old Testament. One of the first things I thought about was simply this. I thought about Adam and Eve. Hello? God told them not to sin, not to do certain things. He didn't use the word sin there, but told them not to do certain things. And lo and behold, what happens? The devil shows up. And then he starts twisting the word of God. God did not say, and if you eat this, then you're going to be like God and you're going to be equal with God. And so he twisted the whole word up. And then the Bible reminds us that how that the serpent beguiled Eve, and then Eve had the husband, etc. Adam ate of the fruit. And then what happened? They were judged. What happened? They were thrown out of the garden. With a flaming sword by the angels, kept them out of the garden. Was God mean? No, God wasn't mean. God was just. God was just in what God said for them not to do, and they chose to do what God said not to do, and therefore they were judged. You think about Pharaoh. You think about the 10 plagues of Egypt. You think about how God judged them. That would have been a horrible thing to go through the plagues of lice and frogs and everything else that happened there and the death angel, but God made a way, the atonement. But God finally reconciled that with part of the children of Israel, but yet some of the children of Israel didn't get to go into the promised land, and God said, no, you can't do that because you disobeyed me. The whole generation died out. But yet God judged them, and they missed out. What about Noah? Did God judge the earth when the content of men's hearts was upon evil continually? You can read that in the Word of God. God brought judgment, and it rained, and it rained, and rained. And the Dove Brothers used to sing that song, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. Boy, did it rain. We went, when I first moved here, Janet, do you remember that? I had just moved here. We went down to the Heath Church and watched the Dove Brothers sing that song. I remember that. But was God evil? Was God mean? Come on, Jody. Was God evil? Was God mean when He did that? No, God wasn't evil. God is a holy God. God is a pure God. God sent His Son to be the propitiation. He sent His Son for you and I so that we could not have to be judged by God, but we could be given the provisions of glory by God. This scripture here says in times of this ignorance God winked at. But now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent means what? Change your mind. We know that in the detail. We've talked about it. Change directions. If you're going towards hell in that direction, turn around and go in the opposite direction. Acts chapter number 3 and verse 19, a scripture that I know, and I've loved this scripture all these years. And it says, repent ye therefore. Repent ye therefore. And be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What was John's message in the wilderness? To repent. and to prepare ye the way of the Lord. You say, well, preacher, does anybody in this room need this message tonight? I don't know. I don't try to figure that part out. I just preach what I feel like God's telling me to preach. Maybe in this room tonight, you've neglected your soul. You've neglected your life, and you're spiraling down a road this evening that's going to end up in a bad place. Whether you're online or whether you're here in the building, this message was for you this morning and tonight. And it's God's opportunity telling you that you can now turn your life around. God's not willing that any should perish. I don't want to stand before God guilty as charged. But I want to stand before Him. I didn't realize I had two more pages. I'll quit. I don't even know what's on those two pages right now. I didn't even look at them. But God's given you and I the opportunity. Where will you stand? Where will I stand on Judgment Day? As I was studying this, I realized several things. There's a lot of different judgments in the Bible. How many of you know that? There's the judgment seat of Christ called the Bema seat. I'm not going to go into the details of it. There's a great white throne judgment. There's a judgment of the nations. There's different types of judgment, the judgment of sheep and goats. All of that's mentioned throughout the scripture. There's absolutely no way to get around standing before God one day and give an account of our lives. You've heard the word today. I've delivered my heart. I delivered my burden. Now it's up to us to make sure that our hearts is right with God, and that one day as we stand before Him, that we can stand there with pure hands and a clean heart. Another thought, real quick, that I thought about while I was processing this. Even in communion, when we partake of the ordinance of Holy Communion, we take the bread, we take the juice. This is my blood, which was given for you. This is my body. As often as you break this, break it. Do it in remembrance of me. We take that. But it also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, so let a man examine himself. That we're to look inside of our own heart. We're to look inside of our own life. As we partake of that juice, as we partake of that bread, and to examine our own life to see how we stand before God. And then God's given us room to repent. And God's given us room to get our hearts right with Him. Final part. Wheels on the ground, flaps down, engines off, sitting at the gate. I feel sorry for people. They hear the gospel, Shelby, and they still won't repent. It burdens my heart. I woke up this morning at 4:30-ish thinking about preaching today and the anxiety that comes with that from time to time. Sandra just tells me, oh, don't worry about it. Just go preach. I know. I still do. I've done it for over 30 years now. I want God to burden me. I want God to deal with my heart about what I preach. I don't want to just come up here and let it rip, tater chip. I don't want to do that. Because I believe that God is speaking to people's hearts and speaking to people's lives. And God's speaking to us to get us ready for eternity. But I think sometimes about so many people that's not right with God. And it burdens my heart. What about you? Does it burden your heart over people that you know that's lost? And you know that they're going to stand one day before God. We need to start praying for those people. We need to be intercessors and those that stand in the gaps for those people. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you, God, for the word. God, this word was delivered as I felt you laid it on my heart. And Lord, you've reminded us this evening of the importance. You've reminded us this today of making sure that we keep our hearts right with you. You've reminded us today, God, that we've got to make our hearts ready. For in such an hour as we think not, the Son of Man cometh. We've got to keep our hearts in tune with you, whatever that looks like. And Lord, I pray that now you would deal with our hearts here in this congregation and those watching by line or online. And God, every man examine himself, man, boy, girl. And God, if they're not right with you, God, give them room to repent. Give them opportunity to repent. That God, that they would make ready and they're calling for you, Lord. And God, I pray for this congregation that we would never, ever, ever walk out from under the burden of souls. But God, that would be the purpose and the reason of our existence. And God, help us to be found faithful as we go throughout this week and go to our jobs and carry forth with things that we must do. Be with us, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been my desire that somebody be touched through this message, and I pray you have been. Pray for us. God bless you. And we'll see everyone on Wednesday night. Amen.